I'm Tass Mellis of The Starters.
This is Ben Golver with the Open Floor Podcast.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ludlow from NBA Inside Stuff.
I'm OG Anunoby of the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, I'm Elena Donon, and welcome to the Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch.
Double Clutch Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Double Clutch Podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and tonight I am joined by my good friend, frequent sparring partner, and not yet nemesis, Tom Hall of Fame. How's it going, Tom?
Evening, Matt. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. And you may spot in between us, cushioned, snuggled in between us, is a face you've not seen in a long time, but he has been allowed out again. He's back, wearing the 4-5. It's Matt Wellington.
Hello. I'm back. Maintenance man. I thought we were going to call.
Maintenance man.
I've got a rival bed in the background to compete with this week.
Yes. Yes, my neatly arranged books, you see.
Yeah, very well arranged.
The bed game is on. welcome back to the Double Clutch Podcast. If you are not already following us, please make sure you do so at Double Clutch UK on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Come and join our Discord community. It's discord.me/doubleclutch. And if you're not watching this live, come and join the fun. We've already got people jumping straight in there saying hello. Hello to you all at twitch.tv/doubleclutchuk. Lots of things to get through today. It's been a very, very busy week in the NBA, but we'll start off with the one-year anniversary of the death of Kobe Bryant, which is tomorrow, the 26th of January. So Kobe and Gigi, as everyone's aware, I'm sure, along with seven others, tragically lost their lives in a helicopter accident on the 26th of January, 2020. The basketball world stood still, and I can't believe it's already been a year. I know that the pod we did with Hugh, well, yourself, Matt, not long after it was a particularly tough one. I remember that one well. Can you believe it's, you know, the year's flown by already and so much has happened since, you know, Kobe passed?
Not quite. It seems a bit crazy. I mean, you see, I've watched the Tony Parker documentary, which is on Netflix, the other day, and Kobe turns up in that for like 5 minutes and you just sit there and you sit there, you literally think, it doesn't make any sense that he's already left the planet. So, yeah, it still hasn't sunk in. I mean, when he passed the website, I think most people did some form of a tribute piece on the website, so that was great. And, you know, a lot of people came on the pod in the sort of following weeks and spoke about their memories. And even, you know, diehard Celtics fans and Spurs fans coming on and saying what they, you know, would miss about Kobe and what they loved about him at the time, but also what they hated. But yeah, it doesn't feel right that it's been a year, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, you weren't on that pod a year ago. It's bizarre. It was a completely bizarre situation that somehow we found ourselves talking about, and it really hasn't gone away. There's so much still coming out about him as a player, and then, you know, lots of in memoriam sort of, I think I saw one with Shane Battier the other day, but all these memories coming out from players. Has his impact surprised you at all in any way?
I think just being highlighted and re-emphasized more than we could have ever thought, really. It's one of those all time, I know it was only a year ago, but you will forever remember where we were when we heard the devastating news. Yeah, just his impact, I don't think will ever be forgotten. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the NBA reacts over the next few days and remembers him still. It still doesn't feel real. Like Matt said, it's not really sank in, and I don't know if it ever will, but it's just something that we've got to try and continue on with.
I still see the DeLorean meme floating around of him climbing out the DeLorean. I'm like, come on,
yeah,
come on.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's exactly, you know exactly where you were. I just got back the day before from NBA Paris and was kind of riding the high of that, and then it was the Sunday evening. Yeah. And I got a text message from a guy I went to high school with. Like never hear from this guy, really. But Kunwar just sent me this message. Yo, Kobe's dead. Is this true? And I was just like, what? I was like, I literally replied saying, show me your sources.
Yeah, at the time, the source was TMZ, so you didn't believe it anyway.
Yeah, and I was like, no. And then I remember Woj tweeting it, and I was like, crap. And I'd been in the lounge just sort of playing with my boy, and I just had to sort of hand him to my other half and go, hold on a second, something's going on here that's a bit,
yeah,
it's a bit, like, huge is the word I'm looking for. We had a question on Kobe from Richard Fang. He was an inspiration to many and one of the greatest basketball players to ever lace up. My question is simply, what is your favorite Kobe moment? So I'll come to you first, Tom.
There were so many. I'm not going to go through all of them because I might tread on you guys' shoes, but mine was, I just love the Matt Barnes fake pass. People argue whether it was actually aimed in his face or not, but
the gif.
The absolute nonchalant, not even blinking. It's just incredible for me. I love that.
Yeah, that is an amazing, amazing little clip. Matt, you've probably got too many to name. Anything in particular that spring to mind?
Dunking on Dwight Howard. Like Dwight's, you know, the first time, welcome to the league, kid. And they ended up being teammates like a decade later and that didn't go too well. And obviously Dwight had his...
teammates in inverted commas. Yeah, they were on the same team.
Dwight had his redemption season or whatever it was last year. Another one's probably the buzzer beater over Dwayne Wade on the, I think it was a Friday night game. Like, it's just an iconic Kobe moment. It's weird because he went to so many finals, but you know, the more recent ones, which was the ones, certainly the ones that I would have watched live, he wasn't necessarily brilliant. Like he had a good series against Orlando, but that 7-game series against the Celtics, like game 7, Kobe wasn't great. Like they won that game because of Meta World Peace and Pau Gasol and other players, you know, contributing. So yeah, it's strange that I don't have many finals memories, but that probably speaks to the fact that I'm, you know, a young one and I didn't have access to the early 2000s Lakers games. Are you shaking your head again?
Don't start with the ages.
What's a Betamax, Mike? What's a Betamax?
I don't know. Did they even come out over here?
I don't know.
Kirk, what's a Betamax? Anyway,
silent type.
Yeah. That's a good point. I forgot to welcome Kirk and thank him. So before I give my memory, I would like to just shout out to Kirk for once again producing the stream that you can see now. He's a massive Kobe stan. He's a man of many, many words, but unfortunately are just in his bowl of alphabetti spaghetti, so he probably won't say anything on the pod.
Hello.
There you go. But yeah, he's a massive, one of my favorite not like memories about Kobe that isn't Kobe is the amount of times I've seen Kirk turn up to a basketball run in a full Kobe gear.
Nice.
You know, including the tights and the black Kobe.
No.
but my favorite Kobe memory was, I shared it on the pod last time. We did the Kobe Memoriam, which was when I saw him live 15 years and 2 weeks ago to the day that it is the day. And I walked away from the game thinking he was not as good as he's hyped up to be. He went 3 for 13 from three, put my teeth in, and somehow walked away with 41 points in a win over the Blazers. loss to the Blazers, I think it was. I remember he got 41 anyway. He just went nuts from the free throw line and everything ran through him. I guess what I've enjoyed is seeing everyone talk about their memories with Kobe. There was a great one from, I'm trying to think what it was. It was a Shane Battier interview recently. And he was talking about Kobe at a Magic game or something, and T-Mac was at the line. And he'd got already got 40. And Kobe turned around to Mike Miller, and not me though, and basically said, this guy's done. Watch what happens now. I'm only getting started. I'm only just getting started. And then dropped 20 in the fourth quarter and won the game. So it's things like that that I've either forgotten or didn't hear about in the first place that have really sort of stood out to me over the last year. And it's great that there's still these new stories coming out about him. Let's move on. Recent news in the NBA. Some huge news. Well, I say it's huge. It's inevitable, really. But Steph Curry has passed Reggie Miller on the all-time three-pointers made list, which is, quite frankly, expected, but still awesome nonetheless. He's now at 2,562. Reggie Miller had 2,560. Reggie Miller took 18 seasons to get to that target. Steph has taken 13 and didn't really play at all last year. I think, what did he get? 20 games max? He's still away off Ray Allen. I say away. He's 411 shy of Ray Allen, which at the rate he's making him now is going to take him about 111 games to get to. If he ups it to his career high rate of, I think it's 4.2, no, it might be 5.2, then he'll make it in 82-ish games. So the start of next season, he's going to be number one, you know, in three-pointers all time ever made. How ridiculous is this guy, Tom?
I mean, he's without a doubt the all-time best shooter. Just the ease that he does it with. The amount of attention that he can cope with on the defensive end, like whole defenses just design themselves in order to stop this guy. And he's still, like you say, a season away. And he's still got many seasons down the line. Hopefully, if he stays injury free, he's going to completely consolidate himself as far and away into the 3,000s for 3-pointers made. So I'm excited to see what his final number is. It was interesting when I was looking down the list, James Harden was coming up there in like fourth or fifth. But I don't think he's going to get anywhere near Steph by the time he's done and dusted.
No, I don't think he'll get near him too. But they're the only two active players on the list, which is filled with some crazy names, actually, if you think about it. Matt, undoubtedly the greatest shooter of all time. He's redefined the game. What's your reaction to him, you know, quickly honing in on Ray Allen's number one spot?
It's not surprising. And it shows you just how much the game has changed in, well, I want to say 20 odd years, but even 10 years. Like, we started this podcast in 2012 and the NBA's changed since then. And the fact that he's done it in, you know, nowhere near as many games as what Ray has had, it speaks volumes. And, you know, who else is on that list? Reggie Miller, Karl Korver, Vince Carter. Like, most of these guys are gone now. So it is just Steph's for the taking. And then it's, I think, slowly over the next sort of, you know, 20 years, we're going to see more and more of the younger guys' names who are playing now, who are, you know, good three-point shooters, appear in this list, because the increased volume of three-point shots is just going to lead to more and more players climbing up these rankings. So I think it just speaks volumes as to how the game has gone from this sort of back to the basket, give it to a power forward or a center and try and score a layup, into what it is now, where everyone's spacing the floor. And you've got guys like, you know, Nikola Jokic, who can do everything, including shoot the three. And that's something that, you know, still blows our minds now. Like, we're still just adjusting to the fact that some of these guys coming over, especially some of the European players who are coming over into the league right now and have a very high skill level across the board. Whereas, you know, it's something Kobe said a few years back, was the difference between the European players coming in with playing in Europe and going into America versus the kids coming out of college and the way that Americans play basketball. And yeah, it basically speaks to how the game has changed. I mean, I can't believe Ryan Anderson's not on there, to be honest, considering the money he was paid by the
MVP Ryan Anderson
by the Houston Rockets to shoot threes. Yeah.
But that's exactly it. The top 10 is sort of like a sort of coming together of eras,
yeah.
Because a lot of the guys on there, but you know, there's two current guys. The other eight are all, you know, the earliest draft was Jason Kidd, who was about, what, 95 when he won co-rookie of the year. And he, for a long time in the league, was nicknamed Ason because he had no J. And yet he's 10th on the list at almost cracking the 2000 mark. So all these guys that have come before Steph and James Harden have had the volume of games versus the volume of shots to get that to that position now. And what we're going to see in the next sort of 5 years is a load of those names change, as all these high volume shooters sort of just absolutely fire up the rankings.
J.R. Smith is on there, and that just blows my mind.
He's not in the top 10.
He's in the top 20. Like,
he's in the top 20.
Yeah, like some of the guys, obviously LeBron's in the top 20 as well. And LeBron was a guy who said, people said he couldn't shoot for like the first, you know, 8 years of his career.
Yep, couldn't shoot, didn't have a post game, and yet he's still just like honing in on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and record and just destroying everyone left, right and centre at 36. See, 36 is young. Don't come at me with the ages.
Well, if you watched the NFL last night, Tom Brady's still young, so moving on.
He wasn't the first half, anyway.
I didn't watch it. I don't recognise the sport. That's a lie, I do. I don't watch it, but I do recognise the sport. I did play it at one point. That was fun.
Interesting fact.
I appreciate that he's the only player to have made 10 Super Bowls.
Yeah, people were making all kinds of stupid stats up about him and LeBron James have dominated something like the last 18 years of American professional sports, which... Yeah, I don't get why you would make
accurate.
That stat, but you know, someone was bored.
Hey, it's like those stats where he's just dropped the most amount of X points in the shortest amount of time on a Tuesday night in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Kind of deals. Let's move on to players of the week then. So it was recently announced, as it always is, just before we come on air. For the East, it's Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, who averaged 37.7 points per game, 11.7 rebounds, 61.1% field goal percentage, leading the 76ers to a 3-0 record. They beat Boston and Detroit. And now he's getting all the plaudits as an MVP outlier. Tom, I can see the Paul Pierce t-shirt folded ever so neatly on your radiator behind. Oh, it's not a radiator, it's the headboard.
Everything in his house is folded. Behind you.
Joel Embiid, how impressed have you been with him?
Yeah, I mean, he dominated the Celtics games. Apparently, he narrowly beat Jaylen Brown in the run for the player of the week this week. But I mean, with numbers like that, you can't really have anyone else finishing above you. He's just dominant. And this is the thing we've always said about him, is he's got this MVP potential, but he doesn't do it on a night-to-night basis. And he's done it since the start of the season, which is why he's in contention so far. We just need to see it for 72 games this year. And then we can have that serious conversation when we come to it at the end of the year. I'm still not sure if you look at the odds. I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but I don't think he's towards the top of those MVP conversations. But definitely, if he can be more consistent, which is what we need from him, he'll be up there come whenever the end of the season is. June, July? I don't know.
I think you're right. It's
COVID.
It's consistency for him. Whatever. If we get through this season. The more often I say that, the more I feel like we're in the Mitchell and Webb event sketch. But that's a real niche thing. If anyone hasn't got a clue what I'm talking about, go and Google it. But it's strangely accurate. Yeah, Matt, Embiid, the question's always been whether he's engaged and healthy. He clearly has been so far this year. Change of coach probably helped. But where do you see this continuing for him? Are we going to get back into another, is it Embiid or Simmons who's the best player on the 76ers team, or is he sort of putting paid to that conversation now?
Yeah, it's been a weird one because you've still got, you know, even as going back to like last week when you guys did the pod, there were still all kinds of trade rumors flying up about where Ben Simmons was going to go, and you almost feel like those two must get pissed off with it. It must be like, you know, Kevin Love in Cleveland. Every year someone says he's going to get traded. People are saying he's going to get traded right now as we record this. So as a player, I could not imagine you get comfortable hearing that. And Ben Simmons and Embiid have been on a tear this season. They made some really good additions during the offseason. Like Seth Curry's come in and just fitted in like a glove to that team. I think I saw something that Synergy Sports posted earlier that, you know, Nick works for, and it was about efficiency, and he's in like the top 20 at the moment for players, which is speaks volumes as to how he's fitted in there. But Doc Rivers has obviously got them playing well, and you tend to see Doc Rivers teams have fairly reasonable regular seasons and then they fall apart in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens this year, but you know, his PER at the moment is 31, which is nuts. So he's torn up the league this past week, and the Sixers are top of the Eastern Conference, I think, and there's only been them and Milwaukee who are sort of reasonably consistent in the East at the moment, but we'll just have to see how long that lasts. But you know, when you're shooting 55% every night, I don't know how long it lasts. But yeah, it's been a great season for him so far. I just hope that Philly can put something together, because they're one of these teams that's got so much talent, and it would be good to see them actually get over that hump that they seem to hit every time we hit June, or in this case October, or whatever it is. But yeah,
take the moves, just go with the playoffs, just say when we get to the playoffs.
It's trying to keep your head in some sort of reality, but yeah, no, he's having a phenomenal season so far, and the Sixers are actually really quite fun to watch with him and Ben at the moment and the guys that are around him. So
yeah, I don't know if I've ever made this comparison, but it's quite similar to
Paul Pogba again.
I know him.
At the moment, he was also on top of his game, and their team are doing very well at the top of the league. So it's a lot of similarities.
Well, it's all going right for the Glazers, isn't it?
Seriously. There you go.
Oh dear,
Mike's just hiding off camera in shame. For those of you listening to the audio version,
I'm slumped in my seat now at another football reference that I don't get and won't get and refuse to get. let's move west to the other player of the week. And if you want an argument for the big man spot is dead, here you go. You've got two centers with players of the week. Out west, Nikola Jokic, who had 29 points, 14.7 rebounds, 6.7 assists, and leading the Nuggets 2-3-0. Remember last week when we were scared about the Nuggets? they beat the Thunder. They beat a pretty good Phoenix team twice. Is he the best center in the league, Matt?
He's averaging a triple-double at the moment, I think, isn't he? So that probably puts him up there. But yeah, Joel Embiid's giving him a run for the money at the moment. But
he didn't last week.
No.
Kerr, that's my fantasy team shot. And I lost to Kirk. after he didn't tell me I needed to set my lineup on MLK Day. I'm going in at Kirk today.
Kirk, you really need to use that microphone and defend yourself at some point. Every point over the last few weeks, you've been attacked and nothing. You've got to defend yourself, man. I'm waiting for a sound effect.
NBA, averaging a triple double.
Practice. Jokic has been phenomenal. And Denver were one of those teams that you just expected to come out of the blocks firing, but they were a bit all over the place. What are they now, 9-7 or something like that? And they're just sort of, they've won three games in a row. Last week was a good week for them. Jokic is playing well. All of the guys around him are fitting in. They're a really talented team. And we've said it before, every time we come on the pod, like they've got so much talent. It's a case of putting it together. And, you know, we know they'll be fine in the regular season. I don't know why people are kind of worrying about some of these teams, because they will be fine, you'd imagine, by the time we get to whenever the playoff starts. But, you know, Will Barton's playing all right. Paul Millsap's chipping in. I think they're doing really well.
Do you think they need to make a trade? There's obviously been a lot of rumours flying around about people they could go after. They were in some conversation for Harden. They were in talks about, you know, rumours for Bradley Beal. Do you think they need to make a move, or is this team capable of capturing last season's form and getting back to, you know, the latter stages of the Western Conference?
I think they're capable of doing it. It's just whoever's going to try and trade for one of those guys, they're going to want the Kings ransom back. And, you know, Denver's got a lot of talent that people are probably going to be quite happy to take off their hands. So, yeah, it's one of those situations where it's going to be, do you want to give up your future for a sort of win now situation? But you're in the Western Conference, and by the looks of it, the Western Conference is between the Lakers and the Clippers again. So are you really going to be wanting to bank your fortunes on trying to win right now? I don't necessarily think so. But then again, you've got to balance that with maximizing the time that you've got with Jokic. So has he been in the league 5 years, 4 years? Like, it doesn't...
I want to say at least.
Yeah,
five now.
And it seems like he's just getting his career started, but he's actually been here a while.
Yeah, no, I get that. Tom, do you think the load is too much for Jokic? Do you think he can handle this for a full, through a 72-game season?
Yeah, it's such a weird one, because it feels like they're more reliant on him than ever. But then you look and it's like Jamal Murray, who it feels like he's not doing very well, but actually he's putting up career numbers. I think the Jeremy Grant loss was big for them. The weird thing is Michael Porter Jr. is ending up like playing such a significant part, because before he was injured, he was averaging like 20 points a game. So if he comes back and suddenly he's like this big part player, do you then think, okay, this guy's untouchable, he's going to be such a big part of our future? Or do you think, oh, he's got a lot of value, so we can trade him for someone like Beal and chuck a few other assets in there? I think a lot of it will come down to fit, but they are going to need something else to complement him a bit more, especially come playoff time. Whether Jamal Murray is going to just go on an absolute mad run like he did last time, I don't know. But you can't be this reliant on Jokic come playoffs and not have anything else in your toolbox.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, he is capable of picking apart just about any defense, but no man is an island when it gets to that point, the way that defensive schemes work. Yeah, obviously they've had some inconsistencies around them. I think we were right last week saying let's not hit the panic button yet. They can ride this out. They can get some consistency. They can get some other players performing. Yeah. Let's move on to another team, and I can see Tom smirking away already. The Nets big three finally got on the floor together after Harden's arrival. So without Kyrie, they beat the Bucks 125-123. They then went and lost twice to the Cavs, with the big three playing in the first game, which went to double overtime, and with Kevin Durant sitting the second loss, which was 125-113, and then they got a W in their last game, 128-124 over the Heat. Tom.
Yeah.
How are you finding the new Nets?
It's been
so
great.
Far?
I've loved it. I've been really glad, because they proved everything that I was trying to say last week. I've had a great time looking through some of the stats in preparation for this, because almost every defensive stat, they are last or in like the bottom three, which is mad, because for the last three games, they've got the worst defensive efficiency in the league, and they've played Cleveland, who are the second worst offense in the league. So like, oh, it's only going to look worse unless they like,
but,
mind you.
But to contrast that, they've had the third best offense against the second best defense.
But not one. Like, that's the thing.
No, I know. I know. But you can't, but I'm just giving some context to the stats.
Yeah, but we don't need context. It's just anything that proves my point.
Welcome to First Take UK, everybody.
Things might change now. They've gone out and made that big signing in Norvell Pell. You know, he might come in and absolutely dominate the paint. I mean, no, there were some rumours tonight floating on Twitter that they want JaVale McGee in a trade. He might be gettable. The other one that people were saying they want is Kevin Love, which I had a look at it and I don't know how they can make that work with the money. Like, I don't think that's...
Well, they can. They can.
I mean, you'd have to include Joe Harris when he's tradable.
You haven't.
Yeah, and shares to the Barclays Centre as well to make it interesting. Yeah.
So Jason Dumas is reporting that the Brooklyn Nets are in active discussions with the Cleveland Cavaliers to acquire JaVale McGee, or also have interest in Kevin Love. The Cavaliers will look to flip a number of their bigs for draft capital, although I'm not sure what draft capital the Nets can give, considering they can only trade away. They probably do some pick swaps, but they can only trade away. And they can't even do the pick swaps because they've got them on alternate years. They can only trade away their second round picks for the next foreseeable forever. Mm-hmm. If they were to get Kevin Love, you would be looking at a Dinwiddie, DeAndre Jordan, Landry Shamet, and Bruce Brown. And even though Dinwiddie's injured, if the Cavs were willing to waive the medical, he could be signed. Otherwise, you're looking at you'd have to get Joe Harris involved, which would be
that's too much.
I think even those four guys for Kevin Love is detrimental because Kevin Love offers you nothing defensively, which seems to be the issue with this team.
Dinwiddie's been warming up in a hoodie the last few nights, so he's getting there.
He's torn his ACL. No, was it partial tear of his ACL or MCL?
Yeah,
he's not coming back.
He's just hobbling around like some sort of Jedi under the basket. You know,
just a reminder that Yusuf Nurkic, after a compound fracture of his leg, was walking without crutches in a fortnight on the Blazers bench. So just let's just put it out there: Dinwiddie's not coming back for a long time yet. Okay, so we're dismissing Kevin Love as a possibility. Fine. Does McGee make any difference at all?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, who's he competing with? Like Reggie Perry, who's looked decent to be fair for a rookie, but it's Reggie Perry and Pell off the bench, or Claxton when he comes back. And we've seen that McGee, as much as he's kind of as much of a meme as he is a player at this point in time, he can offer some things on the defensive end. So he's probably better than what else they've got to offer. But still, I just don't think when he's your like only defensive presence and he's the answer to all of these issues, he's not going to take you from the worst defense in the league to like even probably mediocre. He's probably not going to move you that far. So I'm still worried, even if McGee is the one in their sights.
I'm still not sure as to how much of a factor the fact that these guys are offensive players, or if they're just still getting used to kind of playing with each other. Because if you watch the two Cavs games from the other night, like Kyrie Irving's out there doing this sort of airplane impression when he's trying to defend on the perimeter. Not too sure that works that well. And they're just switched off. Like some of those plays are, you know, some of the times that Sexton scored, for example, they're easy fixes, and they'll watch the tape, and hopefully, you know, the IQ of these guys, you would realize they'll know what to do. Like Durant can defend when he wants to defend. He just needs to be bothered. There were several plays the other night, the first game in particular, where he was standing near the rim and he just wasn't quick enough to come across and close down the lane to the hoop. So I think it's just going to take a while. Like these guys know they can score on anybody any given night. So it might just be a case of we'll outrun you during the regular season. And then when it comes to playoffs, we'll work out how to play you. And, you know, we'll get Shamet on and he'll come in and help out defensively. And maybe before then they will make a move. But yeah, Kevin Love probably doesn't make too much sense. I mean, what's Kevin Love remembered for? Like a tiny little bit of a defensive maneuver on Steph Curry in the 2016 finals? But that's about
a tiny little bit.
That is it.
He got a piece on Steph's potential title winnings. That's not a tiny little bit. I mean, that is in the grand scheme of his career, it's probably a tiny part of his basketball career, but it's not a tiny little. That's the only time he's played defense.
That's what I meant. He certainly didn't have to play defense in Minnesota.
From Flying Tortoise, didn't the Nets get extra money from the league because of Dinwiddie? I don't know if they applied for it, but you can get a 50%.
I have a feeling that I read that, the disabled player exception.
Disabled player allowance, which is 50% of the player's salary. So for Dinwiddie, it'd have been $6.5 million. They don't have to apply for it yet. I don't think it would work in a trade exception. I think you'd have to use it in terms of picking up a free agent. So then probably if I was them, which I'm not, obviously, because I'm sat not in a bedroom, but I am sat in front of
I thought that was an office in the Bartley Centre.
It is actually. That's what the soundproof wall is, so they can't you can't hear the cheerleaders practicing. But basically, I would say for buyout season, because there's going to be some people hit that. Who knows if someone like Andre Drummond hits it? Because Cavs aren't going to want to resign him later on.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tom, anyone, you know, this JaVale McGee's not really going to float the boat either. It'll probably improve them a little bit defensively. Are you're standing firm then that this isn't going to work?
I'm gonna stand my ground. Ask me again.
Reset.
Ask you again. Are you standing firm?
The Nets are not going to do it. They're going to fail badly. They're just going to get outscored. They're not going to defend anybody. DJ is going to crumble. Yeah, it's not going to look good.
No, I've still
James Harden's going to play point guard for the rest of the season.
Conference finals team. Yeah, that's one of the best things that's come out of this is Harden's like said, I'm more than happy having less of an offensive load. This is a welcome change.
Some of the passes he made against the Heat last night, it makes you forget. We've forgotten how good a guy he is when he is that facilitator. You know, instead, he's arguably better at it than Kyrie Irving is. So the fact that they've got him doing it and he's dishing out to Kyrie and Durant and Joe Harris, like. It's going to be buckets, so it's fun to watch James Harden again. I'm with Nick. Like I know he was on last week defending James Harden. I've defended him for a while. I enjoyed watching him in Houston, and now he's in a team where he is this facilitating sort of player. I'm down again.
Okay. let's talk about Kyrie. Let's talk about Kyrie for a bit, because obviously he's returned from his 7-game absence. He did. By his standards, at least, quite an in-depth Q&A with reporters. The bit that got a lot of people was when he was asked if he was okay, and he just sort of leant forwards and shrugged. Does he get a fair shake? He's said some dumb shit before, let's face it, but is there any other industry in the world where you're sort of viscerously dissected daily by other people who can't do your job and critique you to the nth degree? If he is having issues, I can completely understand why, because we see the impact that trolls and things like that have on people. And if you've got millions of people doing it daily, that's got a weigh on you. These people aren't, they do have social media accounts that they do check. They're not all immune to the noise. Are either of you concerned about him and his, how much are you concerned about him and his health and how he's able to just stay on top of it, really?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've been reflecting on it over this past week, because I know I've been one of the first ones to jump on the bandwagon and be harsh with Kyrie and the way he's behaved since he's been on the Celtics all the way through till now. And I want to take some of that back and apologise, really. Not that Kyrie has any interest in what I say, but... Like he said, and like a lot of other people have said, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And mental health, really important. I do think he's obviously got some issues, and I don't think he fully understands to an extent, like, the point of basketball is to entertain other people, and it, like, people love to talk about it 24/7, and they don't just watch the games. It's literally a 24/7 global thing. And I think he can be a bit naive as to how that plays out and how the coverage works and how the talks. On the talk shows and on the podcast and everything work. But I think it's fine to talk about the basketball and how it impacts that. I think to then talk about, oh, he's a bad guy. He needs to have better communication with the team. All the stuff that we could never have any real insight into. We probably need to drop a little bit and just let him sort himself out.
Yeah, I think ever since Kevin Love sort of stepped up and made it public, about the issues he was dealing with, and then DeMar DeRozan followed. We obviously had Paul George in the bubble saying that he was... Matt's turned off his NBA TV there.
I was doing some weird things on my webcam, so I thought I'd turn it off.
And Paul George in the bubble, obviously, and he was a shell of what he is at the minute. Maybe that is the whole playoff thing. We don't know until we get to the playoffs, whenever they may be. it's got to be tough. As you know, you can say what you want that they're multimillionaires, whatever. They're living under really strict COVID protocols from the league right now, and they spend half of their season on the road, where the limit of what they're allowed to do now is stay in your room except for a team-based activity. That's got to be tough. I mean, people in lockdown in the UK are having a tough time. So if you're, you know, I get that you're paid millions, but you're paid millions to do it away from home as well. It's got to be tough. I don't even know what question I'm going to ask you, Matt. I just want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's strange because it's sort of a generational thing at the moment. And I can't remember who or what it was, but Bill Simmons spoke to Adam Silver a couple of years ago, and it was streamed on YouTube. I can't remember if it was Sloan or something like that, but they were on there together, and
yeah.
Bill posed the question about how do they deal with mental health at the moment in the NBA, and Adam says that they were like struggling to work out a response for it, because it's like, you know, it's not like the 90s. You don't see, you know, you watch The Last Dance and Michael Jordan sitting on the bus. Yeah, fair enough, he's got his headphones on in one scene, but like in others, he's there and he's talking to his teammates and they're all engaging and they are a real unit. Whereas these days, I mean, you see it, you watch the, you know, the pregame on TNT or whatever, the guys will get off the bus and they've all got headphones in, they're not talking to each other. Like, it is a generational problem at the moment, and I feel like Kyrie is at the center of it in the NBA. And you know, Kevin Love came out a few years ago with the Players Tribune article, I think it was, and then you know that spurred Josh, who writes for our site, to write something in our season guide, which you know is a couple of years old now, but go and check it out because it was a fantastic read. And yeah, I mean, I can't really, I don't want to, you know, sit here and say I know what these guys are going through, because I don't. So I don't really want to make an opinion on it, to be honest.
Well, I kind of get the generational argument. I mean, we've seen what happened to someone like Delonte West in recent years. That's horrific. But I think people are just more aware of it now and willing to speak up. Because if you go back to the early 90s, even if you look at The Last Dance, Dennis Rodman, you know, square it off as being just a quirky dude or whatever. But when he left the Pistons for the Spurs, he was found, I think, by one of the commentary teams, sat in his Jeep in the Palace of Auburn Hills with a shotgun. And he was like suicidal.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessarily a new thing. I just think it's something that we're finally
it's more prevalent now, I think, is probably the correct phrase.
Yeah. I mean, Kirk's put a shot up on the screen, but obviously, you know, if anyone out there, given that we're in lockdown, you know, doesn't even matter we're in lockdown. If anyone out there is struggling with anything like whatever it is, if you want to talk, our DMs are open. We're not professionals by any stretch, as you can tell from this podcast. and if you want to speak to someone who is professional, there are places like mind.org, so you can go there. But if there is anything going on with you, please do reach out if you want someone to talk to. There's always people who will respond and talk back to you from the Double Clutch team. Saying all of that, Kyrie has come back and been absolutely shit hot.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone can deny that. Are you gonna, Tom? Tom's. I thought you were gonna deny it.
No.
he's dropped 34.3 points per game. He's shooting basically, what is it? He's 56% from the field, 45% from three, and 88.2% from the free throw line. 5 assists as well. He hasn't missed a beat on the floor, which is phenomenal to see. I genuinely hope he finds whatever he needs to make him happy. He knows that he is living the sort of bigger than basketball ideology. That's fine by me. What should we go on to next? Should we go on to something a bit more lighthearted? Let's go on to our weekly staple of nothing but Nick's silly nonsense. So, here we go, Nick. Queer Eye has become a pop culture sensation, and rightly so. The positivity and good vibes of that the Fab Five give off are much needed at times like this. My question is, if you had to pick someone from the world of basketball for a Queer Eye makeover, who you got and why? Now, just before we answer this, I didn't know this program was still on. I remember it vaguely from the early 2000s, when I watched it a few times. I think my mum actually bought me, it was either my mum or my sister bought me some guide to it. Like, and wow. Clearly it hasn't worked. Look at me. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm exactly the right person to be picking who would be best to have a makeover if I wasn't top of the list. But anyway, Tom, have you got someone that you would give a Queer Eye makeover
yeah,
to?
This is like second week in a row now where I've had to Google the reference because I've heard of the show, but I have no idea of the context of what goes on in it. So like with the sea shanties last week, and similar to the sea shanties actually, because last week I basically named everybody that had a beard, and that was like my line of thinking for this week as well, in terms of having a makeover. But the guy that I ended up with after a lot of deliberation, far too long actually, was Kelly Olynyk, because I think that guy just does not look like a basketball player. there's a lot of potential there with the hair and that kind of thing. I think if he had a bit of time and input into his brand and his aesthetic, then we could see a whole new Kelly Olynyk.
Fair. Matt, who did you
I have no idea. Are we trying to turn them into a, you know, make them look less of a basketball player or more of a basketball player with the Queer Eye makeover?
Well, I tell you what I've done is I can't give fashion advice. I'm sat here in a pair of joggers that are a decade old.
Yeah, but it's a podcast. Nobody can see you.
Well, you know, I know, but I'm pointing out that my fashion sense is not exactly on point.
Gucci.
My beard is scruffy and not appreciated by the other half. But so I'm going to go for an image makeover instead. And my first choice is a very easy one to make, Kevin Porter Jr.
Oh, okay. Yep.
He's not, you know, his name's been mud for a few weeks. He had a promise, you know, he's a promising young guy and he just hasn't been able to translate through off-court issues. So I think a whole personality makeover, get someone, you know, like a decent PR person behind him to just turn this story around. And then secondly, I've gone a bit more extreme. I want them to give a makeover to the big man role in the NBA because everyone moans about it being dead. People don't appreciate the big names that are out there that are good. I just think that needs a whole rethink.
Nice. My only other note for that, which I feel like I need to shoehorn in, is Trae Young, wispy hair and puberty beard needs to improve.
I'm not going to lie. Trae Young's hair makes me appreciate my own, which... You know, I this is rapidly disappearing, but Trae Young's hair is interesting to say the least. Did you have anything to add, Matt?
No, I generally can't, considering I was last minute standing for this pong, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, if I was, you know, this is totally irrelevant, but if I was the guys at NBA 2K, I'd actually face scan Luka Doncic so he looked like Luka Doncic, because he doesn't look like Luka Doncic at the moment, but that's a different makeover, you know, entirely.
Current gen or next gen?
And probably current gen. I haven't had a look.
Oh, me and my next gen console.
It was just a statement.
talking on D, our discourse on Discord. If you're not Discord on our Discord here, community, come join us. Discord.me/doubleclutch. We hit 125 people in there the other day, which is great. Lots of chat going on in general. There was some talk about the morality of... being traded and giving away your previous team's play calls to your new team. That was quite an interesting few minutes to read through. So let's get on to a fantasy update. We haven't done a fantasy league update in a while. we're a month into the season now. 5 weeks of head-to-heads have gone down. Four teams are still undefeated, which are Team Bean, Kent Shell Shockers, Nottingham Gam, and our one and only Tom Hall's Raging Bowl.
I thought you were going to miss me off the end there.
I might have done it deliberately. Tom, how are you finding life at the top? How are you enjoying Fantasy League so far?
Pretty good. It's been scarily close the past couple of weeks. But yeah, seeing some of the trades that are going on that aren't involving my team, I was worried. But no, I'm happy to still be undefeated. and I'm going to go 72-0 for the rest of the season, I think.
Bold claim.
Fair enough. 72-0 in a...
Yeah, I don't actually know how many game weeks there are.
Dream big.
It's one matchup a week. So 72 would be a year in 20 weeks. Right at the bottom of the league are two teams without a win. They are Ginger Shack's Corby Steelman and Nick Whitfield, who's not come on the pod tonight because he didn't want to
talk. He's ashamed of it, yeah.
Let's jump on to some Discord, some of our listener questions. We had a few questions come in this week. First one from Matt Hardy. With the theme of expansion rearing its head in the NBA, your hometown has a shot at getting a team. Come up with a team name, a mascot, and a player that best embodies the town or city. So, Matt, I'm going to come to you first. Who have you got?
This is because of my debate as to where I should use. I live in Norwich, for those who do not know, so it may be obvious, but I'm...
If you can't spot the giant scarf behind his head. Although, that's... if you can't spot it, that's because you're not watching it. Come and watch us on twitch.tv/doubleclutch.
You're getting good at this. I don't know, but I'm going with a mascot with six fingers. Team name. I mean, what are we going to go? Norfolk Wildcats, Norwich Wildcats, something stupid. And a player who embodies a town and city.
Are there any Wildcats in Norwich?
No, but I didn't want to go with canaries because it's football related and you hate anything
House
football
cats.
Related.
So you've picked something that would eat a canary.
Everything would eat a canary, surely.
Oh, there's logic there.
Godzilla. a player that embodies the town. Okay, maybe you guys could help with this. Which NBA player likes sitting in the middle of nowhere?
With six fingers. Yeah.
Giannis?
Giannis got six
fingers.
He's
in the middle of nowhere. He's in Milwaukee.
Pick Kawhi. He's got another one. Yeah,
did you see the Photoshop the Clippers did the other day? It's amazing. I can't think of anyone, but if I had to choose a player, I'd pick Zach Randolph just because I got a man crush on Zach Randolph.
Yeah, you do have a man crush on Zach Randolph. Tom, who have you got for yours?
I spent the most amount of my planning time on this question alone. So Stoke-on-Trent is where I'm from. And it was between the Stoke Spitfires, because that's where the Spitfire is from. And I went down the Robbie Williams angle, which I think is what I'm going to go for, and went for the Stoke-on-Trent Angels.
Do they have a theme song?
And then for the player, I think I would have to go for Joel Embiid, because through it all, he offers pain protection. He draws defensive attention, and his arms are really long.
Okay, next.
That's amazing.
Tom really did prepare for this.
That's just, fair play. He warmed up those vocal cords and everything. He sat there drinking his honey herbal teas, ready to go. Wow.
I can retire on that.
Weird segue, but I didn't realise the Spitfire was made in Stoke-on-Trent. I do know that Sir Frank Whittle designed the jet engine for it at Brownsover Hall, which is about 2 minutes from the house I grew up in. Which is way more impressive sounding than Brownsover actually is, if anyone out there knows Brownsover. So Brownsover is a little place in Rugby.
Rugby.
Which is famous for inventing an egg chasing game.
Rugby.
And making cement. So I've gone for the Rugby Bricklayers. The mascot could be some kind of furry cement mixer, or maybe like, you know, an arse crack sticking out the top of jeans. And the franchise player, I'm going to pick Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Because of the bricks.
Yeah.
I love it.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Oh dear, that tickled me. If it tickled no one else, I don't care. Next question.
It's downhill from there.
Yeah, Rich Barrett. Gary Harris got mentioned last week as having a boring name. How about the starting five of the most boring names by position in the NBA currently? So at point guard, does anyone have anyone other than Chris Paul?
Yes, I've got Derek White.
Yeah, it's pretty boring. Although it's Derek with, is it Derek with an CK at the end?
Yeah, I think so. That's
true. RICK. See, that's not so boring. If it was DEREK,
yeah, true.
That's boring. Did you have anything to Matt other than Chris Paul or Derek White?
No.
Shakes his head. Shooting guard. Obviously, Gary Harris. That's why we mentioned it last week. Anyone got anything other than Gary Harris?
I actually went Bryn Forbes.
Why is that boring? It sounds Welsh.
Yeah, I think it just reminds me of Bryn from
exotic.
Gavin and Stacey. So.
Didn't watch it. Meh. Small forward.
Joe Harris, come on.
Tom, do you want to go first? Seems
That's not a bad shout, actually. I went for Lonnie Walker. It just sounds very ordinary.
Are you just naming the Spurs?
That's true. I didn't realise.
The Spurs aren't boring anymore. New decade.
I had Joe Harris.
Yeah, Joe Harris.
And then I went through to see if I could make a team full of Harrises, but their names got more interesting and they're missing a centre because there's Tobias and Jalen Harris.
Well, what about Paul Reed forward for the 76ers? That's boring. Come on.
It's Paul Reed. Power forward, I had Dean Wade.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to go with Jeremy Grant, but Jeremy has the I on the end, doesn't it? So I got rid of that. Yeah.
See,
what about John Collins?
It's quirky.
Yeah, I went with John Collins.
Yeah. Isn't his middle name Martin or something really random?
John Collins is a great shout. I can't believe I missed that. And then centre. Anyone got anything other than James Johnson?
Marvin Williams.
Oh, Marvin's a good shout. A good one. Marvin.
Marvin.
Pretty sure he's not a centre. Is he playing
He's not playing anywhere now. He's like at the bottom of the books rotation. If he's even still on the team, I don't know. He was playing some small ball centre last year.
This year.
Going back to point guards, I found Matt Thomas for the Toronto Raptors. Come on, that's pretty boring.
Oh yeah, that's boring. Mm. Yeah, that's boring. So there's quite a few boring names in the NBA. Next question, because we're running almost on time, actually.
Slow down.
From Jonah, would you rather have or support a team full of players you love, but they're just not successful and languish around mediocrity in terms of winning, or support a team who wins championships, but you can't stand the individuals on the teams? Matt, you're a Lakers fan. You tell me.
Well, I'm a big supporter of that old school young Lakers team that had D'Lo and Julius Randle and everybody on it. So,
how is that old school?
It's in another distant memory.
Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones is old school. Don't come at me with D'Lo.
You had like the inverse of this question. So you had the mediocre team with all the hateable players on it.
I think we'd have a team full of players I love that never wins anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom? I think I agree. It's a tough question, but I think if you like winning stuff most of the time, you generally have a lot more lows as well, because whenever you're not winning, it's like a massive disappointment. So I think I'd rather be mediocre forever with lovable people.
I've gone the same. And one of the things you said sort of like sticks in my mind, like people do realise they're not actually winning. Like the fans aren't winning, but like the team wins. They're not giving you a ring. You don't get any of the playoff share. Like I think you can't rejoice in a victory if you hate the players. That's just impossible. It would just be empty. Yeah. Whereas if they're mediocre, but they're people you like, that even if you don't win, you're invested in it, just sort of builds that connection between the team and the fans, which I think is just, that's what fandom should be, really.
It's a growth factor.
Like,
watching the young guys coming up in the NBA is like one of the best things about it. Like seeing a guy come from, you know, I don't know, second in the second round draft pick and working his way into a starting position and then being a fairly decent player for like, you know, second half of his career or whatever. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Like Draymond Green?
Mike, hey, you're getting some stick in the Twitch for Mike Miller being one of the most boring names.
You can't. I'm not going to argue it. It's a pretty boring name. What can I say? Although I think Hoopin' and Looting wants to fight me over where Frank Mitchell's.
Who did you steal
from.
Your name
I
from?
I didn't say he wasn't from Farnborough. I said he invented and designed the jet engine that went in a Spitfire at Browns Overhaul. This is a weird tangent. We'll pick it
fight
up
in
offline.
Your own time.
Question from our own Nick Whitfield. Is Gordon Hayward proving doubters wrong with the numbers he's putting up in Charlotte as a team's first option again? Tom, you experienced Hayward as a... Well, you sort of experienced him. He was only there about 50% of the time.
Yeah, it's nice to see him like healthy and playing well. I don't feel annoyed in any way, to be honest. I just think, like, obviously he's going to have a lot more responsibility on that weird Hornets roster. So I think if he was on the Celtics, you wouldn't be seeing anywhere near the production still that he's doing now. But I'm glad for the guy, so.
Matt?
Yeah, that's the Hornets. I can't exactly say I'm a big fan of watching the watching the Hornets, but yeah. They won one game in the last 2 weeks or something, so yeah.
What, they mean the buzzer beater he scored last night? Yeah. For me, I think people are getting... it's still so early on in the season, so they're, 7-9, so it's difficult to actually gauge how good they are. I don't know what doubters there are, because we all knew he could play. We all knew he could play pretty well with the Celtics. Even when he came back from injury, he had a couple of really good games in the bubble and came back from the birth of his child as well. He might as well have not gone to the bubble. he got injured and was... No, did he didn't go out for the birth of his child in the end, did he?
He stayed in the playoffs.
He was going to. Yeah, okay, sorry. I'll just correct myself on that one, fact check myself. I think the only way he's going to prove doubters wrong is if he can continue to play 93% of the games that the Hornets are playing. Like, we know what he can do on the floor. I don't think he's overrated or underrated. He's a very good player, not the leader of an elite team. We just need to see him consistently healthy. Yep. And then final question, Rich Barrett, late question for the pod. I've been branching into non-basketball pods a bit. What are your non-hoops pods that you like? Matt, you like things that aren't basketball. What non-hoops pods
do you mean
you like?
I like things that aren't basketball, like it's a bad thing. I quite like the Empire movie podcast, which is from the magazine Empire, funnily enough. That's pretty good. That keeps me going through lockdown. Video game wise, Play Watch Listen's probably my favorite video game podcast at the moment. But yeah, my rotation's like one or two, you know, it's like a movie pod, a video pod, and then everything else is usually No Dunks or SI's basketball show or something. So not got a great rotation of podcasts, to be honest.
Tom, who's your non-hoops podcast?
I want to thank Rich, actually, because I'm just going to use it to like cheekily plug my own podcast on Matty Pod, because Rich has messaged me. He's messaged me, Rich, and said that he's been really enjoying it, which is just great to get encouragement from other people, which has come through the basketball avenue, so... it's been really nice. I actually don't listen to anything that's not basketball. I've just got like 20 different basketball podcasts on loop. So any recommendations would be greatly appreciated.
Spotify is going all in on podcasts or something, isn't it? Every time you go on there, they've got some new show hosted by somebody you've probably never heard of.
Don't use Spotify. No?
Am I the only one who does Spotify? I'm just looking through Spotify to see if there's anything else.
Still trying to figure out where the CD drive is on my PC.
If you like rock music, the Rock This podcast is quite good.
So I'm like 95% of the pods I listen to are basketball related.
We've seen the screenshots.
Seen the screenshots. Two that I like that aren't hoops related, 80% mental, which is Dr. Pete Olashaga, who's a psychology lecturer at Sheffield and does a podcast with Hugh Gilmore, and it's basically sports psychology, and it's the only podcast I listen to at normal speed. Everything else is 1.5 speed.
I
listen to that at 1.5 speed, I can't understand any of it. It's just like, but they talk about different athletes, what sort of different sort of mental aspects of the game. It's really interesting. I also like the UK Surf Show. So anyone who might have realized that I discovered surfing again in the summer. I say again, I'd done it like twice before. And I just started getting into it and found a pod, and it was just two guys chatting down in Devon, just two lads. It's a really good pod, really interesting, really nice and relaxed, even at 1.5 speed. So, which by the way, listen to pods at 1.5 speed. And then listen back to them, and it sounds like it's like at normal speed. It's ridiculous, and music sounds so much better at 1.5 speed. Like, it just pumps you up. Like the No Dunks intro is fantastic, and the mismatch, you know, O'Connor, that is phenomenal. Sped up that intro.
Tell you what is funny,
it really gets you pumped.
You listen to them on half speed. It's incredible.
If I listen to No Dunks and then try and watch a YouTube stream of it, I feel like they just can't. It's just too slow. I feel like they're sort of buying time, which then makes me realise I probably babble too much on this podcast. okay, so now we've run over. Games of the week. Tom, what's your game of the week?
I think I'm going to go for Jazz Nuggets just because it's a replay of what we saw in the playoffs last year. Or, just to be really cheeky and pick two, Cleveland-Detroit on Wednesday, battle of the, like, just a million centers on the court at one time would be fun to see.
Yep, no, that's a good choice. Matt,
well, I had
got?
Jazz Nuggets as well, because it's the Sunday night half eight game, I think, isn't it? So yeah, that was one. But
is it not a double series? Tom snuck your pick away from by going first.
That's all right. The Jazz play the Maverick.
This is why we have a shared doc.
I'm in the shared doc. It was there.
I know you are. Right, well, whilst Matt picks another game, I'll quickly tell you my one before he picks it.
Okay, you pick yours.
Go on, what you got, Matt? I'm going Lakers 76ers Wednesday the 27th, 12:30 a.m. Sky Sports Arena. The two teams topping their respective conferences. And before you say it, yes, I know the Clippers are joint first as well. I think that could be an interesting one. Could sort of test the mettle of the 76ers a bit. You got one?
Yeah, Thursday 2 a.m. Jazz Mavericks. They play each other twice this week, and they're two good teams, so well worth watching. The Jazz are on fire as well at the moment. We went a whole hour and didn't talk about the Utah Jazz. What's wrong with us?
Oh, you must be seething because you've been a...
I'm the Jazz correspondent.
the most boring team name of anyone in the league. The Jazz.
How is that the most...
And I like Jazz.
On top of everyone's power rankings, it's mental.
How is Jazz boring?
The idea of Jazz is bland.
Utah? So what you're saying is the use of the name Utah...
Tangent.
...has made Jazz so boring... It's the most boring.
The idea of Jazz to the casual person is like, oh, Jazz. But
you'd think they'd push Jazz music more, seeing as it's the only form of music the Americans actually invented themselves.
Did they not invent skiffle? thanks for everyone who dropped in tonight. Shout out to Johnny Drama 47 who followed on Twitch. Everyone out there watching, don't forget you can subscribe for free if you have Amazon Prime. Kirk will tell you how to do that. I think you've just redeemed some weird thing which bans me from saying a word for the rest of the podcast, Tom. Is that right?
I don't know. I don't think it's me. I think it's someone else.
You don't know. Someone else has done it. Well, I saw it, so I can't say a word for the rest of the podcast, which is great. That's fine. Doesn't bother me. I might have to just think my way through this. So we've had some new articles go out in the past few days. We've had from Justin Quinn, out of the cold storage due to the pandemic's fiscal impact, NBA expansion talk is heating up again. From Josh Coyne, there was the fantastic The Sound of Silent, NBA's PA announcers on life without fans, which if anyone reads The Athletic,
they copied us.
But quite soon after that, they brought out an NHL one. No comment. Our lawyers are looking into it. Harry Harrison and Tom Hall. Tom Hall, our very own Tom Hall. Rookie reviews, 10 games in edition. The, I can't say part of that word, so the, comma, the ant, and the fast PP. So go and check out those articles, read them, enjoy them, digest them, however you see fit. And make sure you come back and join us again next week. That's it from us. I think we've covered everything. Anything else from you guys? I think we're done, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Silence is golden. Awesome. We will see you next week. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks to Kirk, as always. Make sure you follow us at Double Clutch UK on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Check us out on the Discord, discord.me/doubleclutch, and on twitch.tv/doubleclutchuk. See you soon.
I'm in my mum's car. Boom, boom. Get out of my car. Aww.
Kirk showing his age with like the oldest drop.